Roll call.
Roll call for Wednesday, February 18th, Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Escobel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert. Hicks,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Kinski,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Pappas,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Fladern,
here.
Wasserberger,
here.
President Nicholas.
Here.
30 present.
If Father Dickey would please lead us in the prayer.
Blessed is our God, now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for the salvation of our souls, let us pray to the Lord. For those in civil authority, armed forces on land, sea, and air, our governor, our legislators, and senators, let us pray to the Lord. Those who travel by land, sea, and air, let us pray to the Lord. For those who are sick and suffering and those in captivity and for their salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the abundance of the fruits of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and protect us, O God, by your grace, commemorating our most all-holy, pure, and most blessed and glorious Lady, the Theotokos and our Virgin Mary, with all the saints. Let us commit ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God. For to you belong all glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. Almighty God, our help and refuge, who knows that we can do nothing right without your guidance and help, direct us by your wisdom and power that we may accomplish our tasks at hand, and do whatever is according to your divine will, so that it may be beneficial to us and to others, and to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God bless you and keep you, and thank you.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, have a good day.
You too.
Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 17th, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
Oh, it was so good. You need to hear it again. I guess it was a point of order. Are there any objections to the general report? If not, the report is adopted. See, the doctor today is Dr. Cuban from Casper. John, and then our nurse today is Lily Bavona, who is a nurse from Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. In 1987, the cutthroat trout was declared to be the state fish, edging out the golden trout. The session status is today's day 25 of proposed 37-day session. Tomorrow will be the third reading for supplemental budget. Your amendments are due by 5 p.m. today. We would ask that you ask that your amendments be numbered as quickly as you can after the 5 p.m. so the Appropriations Committee can get the amendments this evening if they can and review them for tomorrow so they can kind of get a feel for the balancing of the budget issues. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor, please?
You may.
Just as a note of information for the body, the declaration of the cutthroat trout as the official state fish was pushed by an eighth grader out of the basin who now goes by the name of Wendy Matson. Thank you.
All right.
Back here in the corner.
There's another one back in the corner. I'm going to go with the better looking one. I'm going to go with Senator Coe just because you can't sit that up straight yet. Senator Coe.
I have a guest here today that I was forced enough to serve with in this body, and she actually served down the hall for 6 years down there, and then she came up here and got rid of her bad habits and served in this body for 4 years and went on to become our congresswoman in Washington for 14 years. And one of my dear, dear, longtime friends and a good friend of Wyoming, Barbara Cuban.
All right.
Are the doctors of the day today and tomorrow, and my grandbabies are here too, and I'm so happy that I have a life here in Wyoming with the best run state in the United States. Thank you.
Hey. Welcome. We're glad to have you, Congressman. Back to the other corner, Senator Case.
Mr. President, House Bill 44, Emergency 911 Fees, Prepaid Wireless, was read in yesterday afternoon. That bill has an appropriation. I'd ask that it be re-referred.
Without objection, House Bill 44 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. We're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
February the 18th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 107, engrossed Interstate Medical Licensure Compact. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 18th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 88, engrossed, Health Provider Recruiting Program. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson. Excuse, Senator Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 18th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 159, Education Writing Assessment. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Cole, Pappas, and Rothfuss. No, Senator Dockstader, Senator Cole, Chairman. February the 18th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 231, engrossed, Hathaway Scholarship Exception from Requirements. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Coe, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rothfuss. Senator Coe, Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, House Bill 88 that was just read in, hospital, a health provider recruitment program, does have an appropriation, and pursuant to Senate rules, I ask it be re-referred to committee number 2.
Without objection, House Bill 88 is re-referred to committee number 2, appropriations.
February the 17th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 2, appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 27, engrossed, NRC agreement state authorization, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wassenberger, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 17th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 2, appropriations. To whom was referred House Bill 53, engrossed, Minerals to Value Added Products Program. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Hastert, Perkins, Ross, Wassenberger, no, Senator Burns, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 17th, to Mr. President, your committee number 2, appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 55, engrossed, Solid Waste Program Amendments. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Wassenberger, no, Senators Perkins and Ross, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 17th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 2, appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 54, engrossed, Corrective Action Account Distribution. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wassenberger, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 17th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 2, appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 15, engrossed, Restoration of Voting Rights by Department of Corrections. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Ross, Wassenberger, excuse, Senator Perkins, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 18th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 132, engrossed, Juvenile Confidentiality in Court Proceedings. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senator Escobel, Hicks, Kinski, Von Fledren, no, Senator Christensen, Senator Christensen, Chairman. February the 18th, 2015, Mr. President, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 76, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program Amendments. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Fledren, Senator Christensen, Chairman. February the 18th, 2015, Mr. President, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 21, Intestate Succession Adopted Children. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Fledren, Senator Christensen, Chairman.
With that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list, and I move the consent list as follows. Excuse me. House Bill 60, Trust Company Amendments. House Bill 104, Big and Trophy Game Licenses, Reservation. House Bill 115, Vehicle Registration Timing. And House Bill 135, Lifetime Archery Licenses.
Would any of the members like any of those bills removed? Senator Hicks.
House Bill 135, Lifetime Archery Licenses, Mr. President.
House Bill 135 is removed from the consent list. Would anyone else like to have any of the other bills removed? If not, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 60, Trust Company Amendments. House Bill 60, Trust Company Amendments. House Bill 104, Big and Trophy Game License Reservations. House Bill 115, Vehicle Registration Timing. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
On the consent list, Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
District 28, Anderson.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Landon,
aye. Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Fladern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas,
aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 60, are there any changes? Perkins, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 60, 30 aye. House Bill 104, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 104, 29 aye, 1 no. House Bill 115, are there any changes? Dockstader, aye to no. Scott, no. Bebout, aye to no. Von Fladern, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 115, 25 aye, 5 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bills 60, 104, and 115 have passed the Senate. House Bill 27, third reading of the bill.
House Bill number 74, front license.
Bring that back to me. I gotta see that. Well, there's a 2 on that page and there's a 7 on that page, but I don't know. House Bill 74, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 74, Front License Plate Requirement, sponsored by Representative Blake, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 74, third reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 3, line 5.
Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 74 and ask for your due pass recommendation on this. What this does is strike yesterday's amendment deleting the Hastert Amendment. And what the second reading amendment did was it struck all the language out of there and just said, as the bill was on page 3, line 5, a motor vehicle which was originally manufactured and installed bracket. And there's hardly any cars, trucks, pickups, whatever, that come with an installed bracket. The dealers put them on. And almost everyone, especially walking through the parking lot last night to look at all the vehicles out there, they almost all had an installed bracket. So if this was to stand as the amendment said, as long as you got to the dealer and told them not to install the bracket or took the bracket off yourself, you would not have to have a front license plate. So the language that originally was in the bill would have said a motor vehicle which was originally manufactured without a bracket device or other means to display and secure front license plates, and the manufacturer of the motor vehicle provided no other means or methods to display and secure a front license plate. That is the original language. That's what we're going back to. Right now, law enforcement would have to pretty much stop everybody and say, you know, that particular brand of car comes with a front license plate normally. Why are you not where? Why don't you display it? They'll say, well, it didn't have the bracket on there. As you can see, it doesn't have the bracket. Well, normally it does come with a bracket already installed. So to alleviate that argument and to make it standard across all vehicles, this amendment puts back the original language.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I signed on this amendment just simply because I did have some conversations with law enforcement. I think what we did yesterday, fellow senators, maybe we stepped a little bit too far. I fully get, because I've got friends back home who have cars that they would really prefer not to have to put a plate on the front. I'm all on board with that. But I think what we did yesterday creates some of the confusion that my friend from Gillette just pointed out. I think what's at risk here is that the dealers who put these brackets on the cars, I think what's going to happen, fellow senators, is that they're going to feel like they don't have to put any on any. And that's going to create some real issues for our law enforcement out there. And I would remind that we've got 30 states out there besides Wyoming which require those front license plates. There's good reason for that. It helps our law enforcement to track these cars, et cetera. I think an exemption is good for some of the cars we've been talking about. I think yesterday's amendment maybe went a little bit too far. So on in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Senator Hastert.
This falls into the category voted up or down. It's just certainly the way I read the bill, and it, you know, I fully support the bill. Actually, with or without the amendment, my concern was that those specific sports cars aren't installed. I went through a couple of different car lots, and every one of the vehicles sitting there, the brand new ones, had the front plates. You know, the argument still could be made out there that on those specific kinds of sports cars that they don't actually have a hole drilled for them. These other vehicles that you're talking about do have the holes drilled for them. The other ones don't. That the argument still could be made that, hey, these vehicles, it came from the manufacturer with it. It's in the trunk, so, you know, they could still demand that it's put on. So it's like I said, voted up or down. It's certainly an interpretation that will be lends itself for future work. And I did talk to the law enforcement about my concerns and share their concerns also.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, the bill came from the, and I know we're not supposed to talk to the other body. I just want to talk about the process a little bit, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President, trying to get the best bill and trying to get the Goldilocks version. I think if we leave the bill the way it is with the amendment that was passed, we'll have a better opportunity of getting the Goldilocks version of this particular bill, this particular subject, because I think a good conference committee can iron out all these differences and get it right in the middle where it needs to be. Necessarily, it wasn't in the middle when it came across from the House, and as it hit the floor and passed the first reading, then necessarily it isn't in the form where the pendulum hasn't swung back perhaps a little bit against law enforcement and against the freedom of the road warrior, Mr. Chairman. So what I would say is that if we fail this amendment and look at the process, I think we can get it just exactly where it needs to be with a little bit of common sense.
Senator Anderson.
I'd like to point out that there are 20 states that have seen the light and don't have any front license plate, any need for it, and voted up or voted down, but I think we're headed the right direction in getting this, getting these plates off some vehicles now.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, just briefly, and voted up or voted down, but the amendment yesterday, I think... Voted up or voted down.
I have no idea which way to vote.
Remember that we insert and install bracket device, but it goes on to say, or other means to display and secure a front license plate. So we leave that in there, voted up or voted down, preferably voted up.
Senator, voted up or voted down.
That's just what I was going to say, Mr. President.
any further discussion on the amendment? The question is on third reading amendment number one, and you've been asked to vote it up or vote it down. All those who want to vote it up, say aye.
Aye.
Those who want to vote it down, say aye.
Aye.
It's neither pass nor fail. Third reading amendment number one has been adopted. We're now back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Roll call on the bill.
Anderson District 2?
Yeah.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks? Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing? Vote closed, 24 ayes, 6 no.
House Bill 74, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 74 has passed the Senate. House Bill 135, third reading of the bill.
House Bill number 135, Lifetime Archery Licenses, sponsored by Representative Blackburn. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I think there was some confusion on the first reading on this bill, and I just want to make some clarifications. Remember, you should have on your desk a handout that I'd ask you to pick up at this point in time, and it'll say House Bill 135 on it. What I'd ask you to do is to look at the back page of a handout, not the one with all the... So what's this do? If you look at this handout, the Game and Fish Department has hunting seasons for elk, deer, and antelope, and you can look on here. This is an example of a deer that lists all the different areas and different units. So you purchase your deer license, your elk license, or your antelope license, and you're able to go hunting. But if you look at the bottom of that, it says Section 3, Special Archery Seasons. So turn over, and you'll look at that, and then it lists those special archery season hunt areas. What this bill does is allow those people that only plan to hunt with an archery permit to be able to go in and buy a lifetime permit. This is for the dedicated archery hunters that plan on strictly hunting with the bow. Now, they've already purchased a deer license, but now they're going to participate in the special archery seasons established by the Game and Fish Department. What this bill does is allow them to go in and buy a lifetime right now. If they want to hunt that special archery season, they have to pay $14 every year for a special archery tag, and then they can go hunting. Only thing this does is let them purchase a lifetime tag, improves the convenience of being able to get that if they're a dedicated archer and they plan on hunting the rest of their life with archery equipment, they just buy a lifetime license. Mr. President, that's all this bill does. I'd ask for your favorable consideration of a yes vote.
Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Cooper.
Mr. Chairman, I know during committee hold there was some discussion on this bill, but it was I just would like to report to the body that this was a pretty clean bill in committee, and we had no opposition whatsoever in the committee on this bill.
Any further discussion? Roll call on the bill. Oh, pardon me, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess the reason that I'm struggling with this bill from the testimony is you're going to buy your deer license anyway, and so I'm struggling to understand why you just don't pay the archery license when you buy the deer license. I mean, it's not like it's the ability to buying that license is not a burden when you go get the deer license. I don't understand why it's such a burden to have the lifetime archery license. I don't quite get it, Mr. President.
Discussion on the bill, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, just to address that point, and a lot of these, if you draw a limited quota, you actually send in for the license and it's delivered through the mail. You can purchase a general license through the mail. Now you have to go down to the sporting goods store and purchase that, and then you carry it every year. You got to keep track of that piece of paper. What this allows you to do is do that one time. You purchase that, goes in your wallet. You don't have to chase that paper every year and keep track of that piece of paper. So it's a convenience situation is all it really is.
Further discussion on the bill? Question hasn't been called for. The question is on House Bill 135. If the chief clerk would please read the call the roll.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Landon. Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
No.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Christensen, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 23 aye, 7 no.
House Bill 135, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 135 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole to discuss bills on general file.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator Burns.
Thank you. Thank you. Committee of the Whole, please come to order. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 30. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill number 30, deposits and depository.
Is that mic on?
House Bill 30, deposits and depositories, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Case?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when a Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 30. And for an explanation of the bill, I'd like to yield to Senator Hicks.
Senator Hicks.
Did I get
that right? Mr. Chairman, members of the body, this deals with the deposits, the state of Wyoming through the state treasurers. What the bill does is it goes in and it amends the board procedures, it amends the procedures for designating the state fund depositories, provides for requiring a disclosure of disciplinary actions, provides for the revocation of depository designations, and allows for promulgation of rules. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to walk you through the bill. If you go to page 2, Section 94801 deals with the Board of Deposits. This amends their procedures right now. If you go down to line 16, it strikes that out. Members of the body, I should, for clarification, as it's going to reference the Board of Deposits over and over and over through this bill. The Board of Deposit is the top five elected officials in the state of Wyoming, for clarification. All this does is strike that language out of there. They meet quarterly, but they don't necessarily meet on exactly those months. So it just brings into what the current practice is. If we go to 94802, this amends the procedures for state funds depositories. What it does, if you go to page 3, on line 1, it strikes out that language. What this now does is just allow for a one-time deposit for depository, for a certification of those depositories. Line 7 goes down and it says, on a certified resolution providing proper authority. This is a one-time application that they'll put in, and certification of that authority is a repository for the state. Goes down and it clarifies on line 10. It says the applications includes a list of the applications. That list of applications for state deposits will now be put together by the treasurer. If we go down to line 17, this is where we get into the revocations procedures. This section 1 deals with current statement of condition. In other words, the depository has to provide to the board. The second part it does, it provides a certified copy of a resolution indicating the authority to act as a state depository has not been revoked. And other information the secretary of the board deems necessary. If at any time state funds are deposited within depository, the state depository is subject to a public enforcement action or federal state regulatory entity, the board may revoke the bank's designation as a state depository at any time except for during time there's no deposits. This just requires that any depository that has a federal or state sanction against them notify the secretary and the board of that, and allows for a provision for the board to then revoke any deposits that they may have with that depository. Section 94803 talks about the deposit of state money. If you flip over to page 5, it brings in a new subsection B. Just states the state treasurer may promulgate necessary rules and regulations for the implementation for approved state depositories for a one-time or a time deposits on the open accounts program. This provides guidance on when, how long, and what interest rates, and makes terms for payments out of that within that condition. If we go to section 94804, this deals with deposits of state money approved by the depositories. This just clarifies that it'll be the first day of the first business day of January. The current practice is that any day, so if we designated a depository to get that information back, the banks could do it at the end of the month, the middle of the month, or the first of the month. On page 5, line 21, it just says the first business day makes that consistent. And then it says, as used in, it defines, it goes into a definition of what constitutes a business day at the bottom of page 5. Turn over to page 6, continues the definitions of what a business day is, goes down to section 94806. Just talks about the resolution from the depository. What we found out in committee that different depositories use different forms. This provides that to happen rather than the form presented by the state. Under Romanet I, it just says a form acceptable to the state treasurer or the treasurer or the appropriate political subdivision. Again, not all states or depositories use the same accepted form. This just allows the form to be approved by the secretary or the treasurer. If we go over to page 7, it's just existing language. Go all the way to page 9, brings in a new subsection B. And this just provides for more optionable flexibility. It just says, again, this is on the forms. We're still under that same section. It just says a certified copy required by subsection A of this section shall provide a time of the bank's application or within 30 days following the designation by the state board of deposits or proper governing body as directed by the state treasurer or treasurer of the appropriate political subdivision. If we go over to page 10, this just talks about time deposits, open accounts, and payment of interest. Again, this just designates that it has to be on the first day of the month. Just clarifies that under 94280 or 825, talking about joint custody agreement. This is just cleanup language. Just strikes the by the State Bank of Wyoming and inserts the State Bank. It's primarily just cleanup language. If you go down to page 11, line 15, or any other government-sponsored enterprise brings that. This provision just gives the state the discretion to shop around a little bit. That's all those changes do there. We move on to section 94827. This gets back to the custody agreements again and the type. A lot of the old antiquated language that's used in those custody agreements. This just brings in those forms again and says in a form acceptable to the state treasurer or treasurer of the appropriate political subdivision. We go into the section on joint custody. If you move over to page 13, this just cleans up the language in there and just says a joint custody agreement shall be executed by the custodian. Move on to page 15. And again, it comes back to the forms, and it just says, being a form contained provisions as required by the state treasurer or the treasurer of the governing body. Mr. Chairman, that's the bill. Stand for any questions.
Any questions or discussions? Senator Ross, I'm trying to, there you go. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know my English isn't very good, but I'm just wondering why are we regulating suppositories?
Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, those ready for the question. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation to House Bill 60, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 30. My mistake. House Bill 30 has passed Committee of the Whole. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, on that note from the back of the room, may I have privilege of the floor, please?
You may.
I thought it might be a time to do that. Mr. Chairman, I recognize some folks from the center part of the state upstairs, and I would like, fellow senators, if you would help me to welcome the fine students from Roosevelt High School. And Marissa Nickel, their instructor, they're down here today to watch the proceedings of the Senate. Would you please welcome them to the Senate? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome, students. Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, it's my privilege and honor to welcome here today a former president of Sheridan Community College and current member of the Sheridan County Commissioners, Mr. Steve Meyer. Please help me welcome him to the Senate.
Welcome, Steve. Any other privileges of the floor before we move on? Next bill up before Committee of the Whole is House Bill 63. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 63, Unclaimed Property Advertising, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Papasan, Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Case?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 63, Unclaimed Property Advertising. And for an explanation and to carry this bill, I ask that you yield to Senator Pappas.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the body. This is a very simple bill dealing with the unclaimed property advertising issue. If you look at the first page to the bottom line, number 15, you'll see that in our current statute, advertising for unclaimed property is required to be advertised one time in a newspaper generally circulating in the state. The advertisement shall be made in a form such as in the discretion of the administrator. The bill basically removes the need for advertising in a newspaper and allows for a form to be used at the discretion of the treasurer. So basically, in today's day and age, there's a lot of different ways to get to people that are much more productive than putting them in a newspaper. And so this gives the latitude to the treasurer to be able to either do it in a newspaper or through electronic media. And so that is the purpose of the bill. And line 4 and 5, parts of 4 and all of 5 are stricken because it goes on to describe how it should be advertised in the newspaper. So the repealers in Section 2 basically are the details of newspaper advertisement. So those are being removed as well. So that is the bill. Very simple. I ask for a yes vote on this bill.
Any other discussion? Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, I rise to object to this change. This allows the treasurer to do it in a form that meets some discretion of his. So one month he could do it in the internet, the next month he could do it in the paper, the next month he could do it in some other form. The public looks to the paper to find these things, and it's the reliability of it's always going to be printed in that same medium rather than maybe next month it's on TV, next month it's not published. So I don't like the change. I ask you to vote against it.
Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, I echo the comments of our senator from Casper. I think that this needs to be done in a way that's acceptable and standard throughout the state. In Evanston, we have a county newspaper. Everybody looks there if there's going to be a notice. They look there for what's going to happen. And I think this bill just goes a little bit too far and provides too much latitude for the administrator.
Any other discussion? Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chairman, probably no surprise I stand up. I don't think I have to declare conflict, but we've got a standard that's worked very well for people out there, especially in our smaller communities. They have an opportunity to go right where they need to go to their country paper, their community paper, to see what's out there. And at this point, yes, it opens it up, but I don't see that we need to change it at this point because we've got a standard that's been working.
Senator Dockstader, did you say you were declaring a conflict or not?
No, Mr. Chairman, I don't think I have to on this.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion on the bill? Senator Pappas.
We did hear testimony that it's very expensive to publish this in the paper. I believe one placement of this in a newspaper that is generally circulating in the state was like $31,000, and it was very, very expensive. And in testimony, they said that people were really not responding to the newspaper ads. And so I really think we need to give the discretion to the treasurer. He's going to do the best thing that can be done to get the word out. And he can get it out in many, many other forms. If he finds that he needs to put it in the newspaper, he still has that ability. So I urge you to pass this bill. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Senator Von Plater.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 2, line 3, it says, is likely to attract the attention of the apparent owner of the unclaimed property. I think that is the incentive aspect of this bill, and I think it's a good bill that he can actually target the market for those people that he's trying to find, or he has the property and he's trying to dispose of.
Any other discussion of the bill? Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, on and against the bill, quite frankly, Mr. Chairman, in all candor, it hurts me to stand up and do something that would actually maybe benefit a newspaper. But nevertheless, as you look at that, this is something everybody struggles with. Back when I was county commissioner, you look at that, and the publishing budget for what it costs to publish, whether you're a municipality, whether you're a county commissioner, or whether, as a lawyer, you've got to publish in probates and other things like that, you go out, it's a substantial expense. But the other side of that coin is that in this day and age, we're probably 15 years away from having this bill be ready for prime time. And there's a significant portion of the population that is still remains and what you're most likely headed toward is some kind of online posting or processing, in absence of publishing a newspaper. And so there's still a substantial portion of our population that remains not computer savvy, that struggles with computers, doesn't like computers, doesn't look at computers, and ultimately if we're going to abandon the opportunity to provide that kind of hard notice in the newspaper, I think that we're starting to exclude to folks that don't have access to what you're talking generally about are folks that struggle on the social economic scale or are older. And so when we're doing this, I think that there's substantial opportunity for these folks just to not understand or obtain the property they have. If you think about it, while it may be appropriate to provide notice in the paper as opposed to just long lists, which I don't know that are very effective, but still some form of notice in newspapers that people still rely on throughout the state is just seems to me to be the right way to go. So I think that this is a bill who's not yet ready for its time.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's be careful here. All this does is remove the requirement that it be published in the statewide newspaper. There actually is sort of only one statewide newspaper. It doesn't affect your other papers at home. It doesn't affect the publication that happens with a organization that also adds the supplement to their mailing list, which is a gigantic organization throughout Wyoming, and it has four initials, and the first one starts with A. And Mr. Chairman, this idea that older people aren't internet savvy, or there's a big segment of our population that doesn't ever connect with the internet, it's pretty false. There are more people that find their information using the internet than read newspapers. That's established fact. But this is not about saying we're going to throw out all papers and go to the internet. This lets the administrator try to find these people. They want to find these people. They have a mandate to find these people in the law. And, Mr. Chairman, they can do it in a manner that works to find the people they need to find. And we don't need to fine-tune that and mandate this one giant publication that costs $31,000 to be published statewide. That's a lot of unclaimed property that's now not available to be returned to people when we spend that much of the money.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, and adding to that, there was testimony, and I forget whether it was in the standing committee here or in the interim committee, that the so-called statewide newspaper no longer has a statewide circulation. And that, in my experience, that's true, that there's areas of the state it doesn't get to. So this is, there's a targeting here that really no longer applies on for the bill.
Mr. Vice President.
I don't think that one of the former speakers in saying that it's false, I don't think that he, while I don't disagree with the fact that a majority of the population does have access and does have access to the internet. Mr. Chairman, I work in my profession, I meet with elderly people on a regular basis. In my estate planning practice, I would say most of my clients are probably 60 or older. And I can tell you that every week I meet with elderly, with senior citizens who do not have access to the internet. I can also tell you that I have a significant experience with folks that don't have internet access because of their economic situation. And so while the majority of people may have that access, There's still a significant number. It's certainly not the majority, but there's a significant number of our senior citizens and those that struggle economically that don't have internet access and don't have the tools and understanding to don't have the ability to deal with this. As far as it's interesting you say that, I actually got contacted, Mr. Chairman, by the Unclaimed Property Division this last year because there was I think $5.31 and some check that hadn't been cashed at some point in time or something happened. Somehow it ended up in unclaimed property. And, Mr. Chairman, I've been at the same address for 10 years and in the same town for 20 years, and they just found me. And this has been down there for 15 years ago. So, not that it's neither here nor there, but the context that they want to find you and that they have and that they can't find you, I'm struggling with that because my personal experience this year is I haven't been anywhere and it took them 15 years to find me where and I hadn't been in the same town, so I wonder about this.
Any other discussion? Senator Pappas.
One thing, too. I know my son had unclaimed property, and he lives in Arizona, and I think that's true of a lot of people that are on the unclaimed property list. They're not in Wyoming. They're not going to read a Wyoming newspaper. And so I really do think the Treasurer's Office wants to find these people. And maybe they can't find some people. I don't know why they couldn't find a certain senator from the center of the state. But I think that we ought to leave it up to them to find the best method to contact these people. To actually require them to only put it in the newspaper, I think it just binds their hands and they're not going to find these folks. So I really think we ought to give them the latitude, let them try to find these folks, and use the best method that they think they can find to do that. So I urge a passage of the bill.
Further discussion, Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think we should remove this opportunity. We're not quite there yet. We still need to have one more opportunity out there for people to claim their property. And as far as that argument goes, Senate, it's not statewide. This weekend I drove home 450 miles to the west and picked up a copy of a statewide paper, and there was a lovely picture of our staff member up to the front who reads in the bills and a nice voice, and I set it aside next to my easy chair so that I'd have an opportunity to read it when I got back home. So there are opportunities to get across statewide.
Senator Case.
I don't know, Mr. Chairman. It's like, how are we going to move ahead a little bit? $31,000 for publication in one particular newspaper that not everybody reads anymore is a problem. And I'm sorry for the fact that they didn't try to find a $5 check and get it to the rightful owner. I think they should do that. But to tell you the truth, I'd rather they spent time on a $1,000 account and sharpened their pencils and really went after that. And, you know, do you really want the state to spend a long time on $5? I know they do their best they can. And this, you know, this will allow an active publication where you can always look and find your property. Times are changing, and this is going to provide a better way. We need to work with them. This was an interim committee testimony. No one testified against this bill in interim committee. And believe me, everybody out there was aware of it. Not the organizations that represent senior citizens, not the publishing entities in the state of Wyoming. No one.
Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 63, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 63 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 51. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill number 51, Excise Tax Well Site, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. It was referred to Committee number 3, Revenue, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Driscoll, Kinski, Landon, and Peterson. Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator? I'm sorry. You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move it when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 51. There is a standing committee amendment, and I ask for that amendment to be read in at this time.
House Bill 51, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 2, line 4.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 51. And for further explanation on this bill and the amendment, I would turn it over to the good senator from Fremont County, Senator Case.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is about how activities at a well site, a drilling well site, are taxed with respect to sales tax. And, Mr. Chairman, this very fancy drawing I had put out earlier, if you look, it's actually it looks like two handbags, kind of, but actually what it is it's an aerial photo of a well site. And, Mr. Chairman, the old law explained that the well site area where the services of drilling and the services provided to the driller will be taxed was a diameter of 250 feet. And that's the definition that really doesn't work anymore with our very modern drilling technologies, our very deep wells, and hydraulic fracking. These are just bigger work areas. That's all that is. If you look on this diagram, you can see that there is a little blue dot And that blue dot on the right-hand square there is the actual well site. But actually, this diagram shows several wells on the same well pad. You can see there's a scale in the lower right-hand corner, and you can see what 200 feet looks like on that scale. You can imagine if you drew a circle that's the current law, 250 feet in radius, Mr. Chairman, you're not going to catch much of that activity there. Now, what this definition is trying to do is to say, well, everything that's used in the drilling process is subject to this definition, and so it tries to specify some of that out. So the new language is that a well site means an area where production equipment is installed to store or prepare oil or gas for transportation off the well site. Production equipment includes, but is not limited to, wellheads, valves, tanks, dehydrators, heater treaters, separators, flow lines, meters, flares, vapor recovery compressors, and emission equipment. Except as provided in this paragraph, production equipment for purposes of defining a well site shall not include compressors, off-wells, gathering lines, and processing facilities. And Mr. Chairman, the Chairman of the Revenue Committee did move the amendment, and you can see that the amendment goes to page 2, line 4, and deletes the word separators and inserts the word units. So, Mr. Chairman, that is the Standing Committee amendment, and I'd ask for its approval at this time.
Any discussion on the amendment, on the Standing Committee amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion to adopt the Standing Committee amendment to number 1 to House Bill 51, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Standing Committee amendment has passed the Committee of the Whole. We're back on the bill.
And, Mr. Chairman, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. This basically takes the definition of a well site that's been in our law for a long time and updates them to the more complex drilling activity that occurs now that far exceeds the radius of 250 feet.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 51, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 51 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 52. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill number 52, Sales Tax Exclusion Related Business Entities, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. It was referred to Committee number 3, Revenue, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Case, Driscoll, Kinsey, Landon, Peterson, Senator Peterson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 52. There are no standing committee amendments, and for further explanation, I'll give it a shot here to explain what the Revenue Committee attempted to do with this bill. It was last session that this discussion started happening on closely related businesses and the double taxation that was happening in and around our state. And so we prepared a bill, and it wasn't quite ready for prime time. And so during the interim, we took it up as a topic again and came up with this idea of sales tax exclusion to related business entities. What we found out was that there are some businesses out there that are closely held, either families, other type of corporations that have created other entities and subsidiaries that trade back and forth, possibly personal equipment, personal property. And when they do that, then the tax is again applied, thus causing this double taxation. And so what we tried to do in this bill was better define, first of all, the exemption and the type of closely held corporation that we were talking about here. So on page 2, line 5, we add the word or lessor, where there was just seller before, because a lot of these examples and problems are basically related to leases. And then on line 9 is basically the meat of the bill,
letter M, we talk about the lease or rental of tangible personal property between a parent and closely held subsidiary corporation. On line 16, we try to define what a closely held subsidiary corporation means. It means a corporation in which the parent corporation owns stock possessing at least 80% of the total combined voting power of all classes of stock entitled to vote or and owns at least 80% of the total number of shares of all other classes of stock. You know, Mr. Chairman, there are a number of reasons why a parent company does this type of action between its subsidiaries, and that is liability reasons, maybe trying to get children involved in the business. There are all these number of reasons out there that these type of exchanges are taking place in these corporations. Lastly, on page 3, we just renumber M to N, and then, of course, on line 7, we just add the subparagraphs M and N to this section, and that's basically the bill with the effective date July 1st, 2015. This bill is trying to take care of a problem that currently exists out there in our state of double taxation, and I think, and as our Revenue Committee thinks, that this bill takes care of that situation and is a good remedy for it, and so I would stand for questions.
Any questions or discussion? Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question on, and as I read this, as it's now by adding those terms in there, with a seller, I understand when a seller has directly or indirectly paid sales tax incidental to the sale or disposition, you know, if you have the old language in there and went to N, I understand how that tracks. But when you talk about the way that, if you look at, I'm looking at line 5 and 6 on page 2, where now you have excluding the exchange or transfer of tangible personal property on which the seller or lessor has directly or indirectly paid sales tax or use tax incidental to the lease or rental. And I'm looking at, I'm trying to understand how we interpret when in the context of a lease, the direct or indirect payment of sales tax related to the lease. I mean, if we're talking about whether sales tax has been, Mr. Chairman, included in the purchase price of the equipment that's to be rented, that's it. If it's directly, I'm just struggling with what that means when we have that directly or indirectly paid sales tax or use tax incidental to the lease or rental of tangible personal property for consideration between a parent. I don't understand how you're going to say that you've paid this tax and how that applies in the situation in the bill. I understand the purpose behind it, but I don't understand how it's going to be applied.
Any further discussion? Seeing none. Senator Peterson.
Valid concern. It was discussed in our committee. Basically, how this happens is a parent company purchases the equipment, pays the sales tax at that time, and then turns around and leases it to a subsidiary company, and then at that time is required to pay another sales tax. And so it was our feeling that this was the best wording that we could come up with under that situation of trying to basically come up with some type of a solution to prevent this double taxation that's happening. And so we tried to define better with the 80% ownership. We talk about directly or indirectly, same persons. All those things that we had discussed was basically trying to attempt to try to rectify the situation of the double taxation that's happening. But that's how it happens. The parent company purchases equipment, pays the sales tax, and then turns around and leases it to a subsidiary company, and then is forced to pay the sales tax again. With that, Mr. Chairman, that's the best remedy or best solution that we could come up with during the interim. And I understand the concern here. It was discussed, but we feel the wording is appropriate and fixes the problem. So.
Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation for House Bill 52, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
House Bill 52 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next House bill for our consideration is House Bill 82.
House Bill 82, Brewery and Microbrewery Licenses Definition, sponsored by Representative Petroff. It was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Driscoll, Kinsey, Landon, Peterson, Senator Peterson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure? Senator Peterson, hang on. I thought it was TRW. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 82. And if there are no standing committee amendments, and for further explanation, I would turn it over to our good Senator on Revenue, Senator Kinsky.
Senator Kinsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise on and for House Bill 82, hopefully in promotion of Wyoming's growing craft brew, microbrew industry. There are currently 24 of these in the state of Wyoming, with almost another 6 in the planning stages. And it's an important industry for a variety of reasons. One of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, said that God made beer because he loves us and wants us to be happy. And he was, for some of us, it's beyond happiness. It goes to the meaning of life. And let me explain. There were 9 of us in our family, Robin, Randy, Patty, Amy, Mary, David, Joe, John, Boo. And for all of our adult lives, we had believed our mother was a teetotaler. Until we were watching some old 9mm movies and we saw this video of Mom in the 50s wearing dark sunglasses and holding a Miller High Life. And all us kids were laughing and hooting and hollering, and Dad said, "Don't be laughing about your mom drinking a beer. If she didn't have a couple now and then, half you kids wouldn't be here." And I told him, "Dad, that's it. That's the meaning of life, Miller High Life." Well, today, thanks to Wyoming's growing craft brewery, no longer to the pallid tastes of Miller High Life will Wyoming children be conceived but a nice IPA or a Hefeweizen. This is an industry that is growing, as I indicated, up to 30 of them in the state now. 3 are rapidly approaching the current 15,000 per year barrel limit in federal law. And by contrast, Budweiser brews 100 million barrels of beer a year. There are 3 that are approaching the $15,000 barrel limit, and one in my district has expanded, created 6 new jobs, hopes to create 12 more, and is on track to hit the 50,000 limit, hence this bill to expand that. The reason or the rationale for the microbrewery license is twofold. First, it was a new creature in Wyoming, so we very cautiously, 20 years ago, created something called a microbrewery license, which is allowed under federal law. Federal law, as a consequence of prohibition, tightly regulates microbreweries and breaks them into those brewing over 60,000 barrels and those under 60,000 barrels. Under 60,000 barrels, you're allowed to have a dispensing room, a tasting room, an on-premises brewery, and it also cuts the federal excise tax on beer in half, creating a substantial incentive for these growing enterprises. So with that, let's walk through the bill, which is very brief. Page 1, simply the title and the lead into the existing statute. And on page 2, you can see where 2 sections of the existing statute where we strike 15,000 barrels and insert 50,000 barrels per year, making it a very simple bill. And I would ask for your consideration, favorable consideration of House Bill 82, and I'll stand for questions.
Any questions, Mr. Chairman?
and asked if my mother had two or three, and you popped out 9 months later.
I suspect more.
More?
Aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 82 has passed. I'm sorry, I'm going to repeat that since I didn't have my mic on. All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that with the Committee of the Whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 82, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 82 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 136. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 136, Interstate Game Tag Exemption Meat Processors. Sponsored by Representative Madden. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, which reports with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Barnard, Cooper, Kraft, and Johnson. Senator Cooper, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Cooper?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of Whole rises and reports to do so with the recommendation that House Bill 136 do pass. Mr. Chairman, there are no standing committee amendments, and an explanation of the bill I would refer to Senator Hicks.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, this good little bill, it cleans up a double taxation provision that's out there. 23-3106, transportation of bigger trophy games animals. The testimony that we had in committee that this is one of the very first statutes ever adopted in the state of Wyoming for the Game and Fish Department. And the purpose at that point in time when this was adopted was the tail end of the commercial hunting era where you could just go out and kill truckloads and animals and then sell them at the commercial market. That's what this was designed at, is to provide a mechanism to deal with the tail end of the commercial wildlife trade. So what's the bill do? It goes in here, and the current situation is that today, and this is a cleanup. We had a bill like this last year that dealt with taxidermists. Inadvertently, we forgot to include the meat processors. But the current situation is today is if you harvest an animal and you take it to one of your local game processors, and then you don't pick that up and they ship that to you, whether you're in-state or out-of-state, then they have to sell you additional tag on top of the license that you harvested the animal to. So it is a component that where we have double taxation because those meat processors just put that tag back onto the cost of the person that already had the license. So all the bill does is go into, under subsection A, deals with in-state transportation, and it would exempt from requiring to have to purchase an additional tag. So if you went over to the western part of the state and you harvested an animal and it was hot and you took it to a meat processor and you told them to ship that to you a week or two later, they just put your coupon on the box and ship it. You're no longer required to buy that additional tag just to ship your meat from that processor to you. Subsection B brings in the out-of-state or the interstate component that a non-resident comes to the state of Wyoming. That's what subsection B deals with, is this out-of-state transportation. It would exempt from that subsection. You go down to F, and it just says in that particular category in subsection F, if you come from out of state, you harvest an animal with a legal license, you leave it with the meat processor, and they ship the meat back to your residence, then you don't have to purchase an additional tag. Mr. Chairman, the other only provision is here within the state of Wyoming, we have meat processors that do specific jobs. You'll have one meat processor that just butchers the game, but they may not make jerky or sausage. They will take the trimmings that are all collected off a group of animals, and they will ship that to another processor within the state. They will make that product, ship it back for distribution by the original processor, and it would exempt those guys within the state of Wyoming that are shipping meat back and forth between processors, wouldn't have to buy an interstate game tag. Mr. Chairman, that's all the bill does. I'd stand for any questions.
Any questions or discussions? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Cooper's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 136, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 136 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 42. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 42, Unclaimed Property Merchant Stored Value Cards, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, who reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Case?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 42, Unclaimed Property, Merchant Stored Value Cards. And, Mr. Chairman, there is a Standing Committee Amendment. May we have that read in at this time?
House Bill 42, Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to engrossed copy. Page 1, line 2.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 42, and I'd ask that you yield to Senator Scott.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 42 has to deal with a problem with the unclaimed property and these gift certificates, merchant stored value cards, that sort of thing. And Mr. Chairman, before we get to the bill, the Standing Committee Amendment, let me say as a whole, the bill is brought because our laws in this area are a mess. We were treating one variety of these things one way and another a different way. It was a real headache for your practical headache for your merchants, and the system just doesn't work currently, so we need to do something. Mr. Chairman, the Standing Committee Amendment, the engrossed bill as it comes to us, which is different from the bill as introduced, took a fairly drastic solution to this. It defines the engrossed bill defines these merchant stored value cards, gift cards, etc., in the first part of the bill. And then the key provision is at the top of page 4, gift certificates, merchant stored value cards, credit memos are not subject to abandonment under this act. Simply gets the unclaimed property all the way out of this. There was some thinking that that was too much of an extreme provision, and the Standing Committee Amendment brings you a compromise. It does a couple of things. It goes back and restores some language where we're going to treat the gift certificates. If you look on page 1, lines 16 of the amendment, gift certificates, merchant stored value cards, credit memos, we're going to treat them the same. They're deemed to balance abandoned if the balance remaining is greater than $100 and it's more than 5 years after the date of issuance. That brings the uniformity we need. And then the real compromise language is on page 2, lines 9 through 14, where a gift certificate, merchant stored value card, which has no expiration date, does not impose a fee of any kind related to sale, redemption, or other initial charge, is exempt from the requirements of this section. And the testimony in committee was that most of the merchants are now issuing these things in a form that does not have the expiration date, and that this language would exempt those cards. And what the merchants were saying was that what happens now is somebody is moving, doing a major house cleaning, or just happens across one of these cards that's been sitting in the back of a drawer somewhere for 7, 8, 9 years, what they do now, they try to go down to the store and say, I found this old card and I want to redeem it and use it. And the merchant, if they've been following the law, has to say, no, you can't. The state took that money. You've got to go see the unclaimed property. And it's a problem and a nuisance all around. And what the merchants want to do is to be able to continue when somebody finds one of these things to just go ahead and redeem it and not worry about sending it to unclaimed property. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't think unclaimed property works very well here because typically people buy these things. They buy them as gifts. There's no records of who bought it, who it was given to. And how the heck is unclaimed property going to figure out who owns one of these things, especially the smaller ones? There just aren't the records. So this, I think, is the much more sensible version of how to handle things. And I think it basically is in accord with the way most people think that they're handled, that if you lose them or something, they're just gone. And the merchant is benefited, I suppose. But if you find it again, you go down, take it, and use it. And then another important part, Mr. Chairman, the Standing Committee Amendment. This section is repealed effective July 1, 2019. The reason for that, Mr. Chairman, is the Uniform Laws Commission is working on this problem. And we expect that sometime, most probably in 2017, there will be available a uniform law provision, which will be very useful because then merchants that go across state lines can treat these things the same everywhere. And that by 2019, that solution will be known. We will have had the opportunity to adopt it, and this repealer will force our hand if we haven't done anything. So the date is chosen with an expectation that there's going to be a change in this law that we ought to adopt to be uniform nationally. So for those reasons, Mr. Chairman, I urge the Senate to adopt Standing Committee Amendment and would be happy to answer any questions on it.
Any discussion on the Standing Committee Amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment, number 1 to House Bill 42, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment has passed Committee of the Whole. We're back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, in explaining Standing Committee Amendment, I think I've pretty much explained the bill. But I would emphasize that we need to do something in this area because the current law is a mess and a problem for our merchants because there's several different sets of regulations they've got to follow, and they're confusing, and they're not in accord with the way the public thinks the world works.
Any further questions or discussion on the bill? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 42, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 42 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 17. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 17, Sexual Assault Protection Orders, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Flader, and Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 17, Sexual Assault Protection Orders. There are standing committee amendments. There is one. I'd ask that the reading clerk read in the amendment.
House Bill 17, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 9, line 1.
Senator Christensen.
I move the amendment, House Bill 17, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. To further discuss the bill and amendment, I'd ask you to call on good Senator Hastert.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. I bring before you, and I appreciate the good chairman of Committee Number 1 allowing me to present this bill. House Bill 17, Sexual Assault Protection Orders. House Bill 17, members of the Senate, is a product of several years of work involving numerous individuals and taking into consideration many concerns. This past year, work was done by the staff, Committee Number 1, the and the judiciary to craft this legislation by adding sexual assault into the current stalking protection order statute. The circuit court judges appointed a 3-judge committee to advise Committee Number 1 on the bill and offer suggestions along the way. The following statement is from the circuit court judges committee assigned to the committee for the proposed sexual assault protection order statute, that the judges can neither support nor advocate for special legislation, for specific legislation, excuse me, that they take no position against or for a proposed bill, and that they have reviewed the proposed sexual assault protection order legislation, and it would such appear that it would fit within the current procedural framework circuit courts currently utilize when using domestic violence or issuing domestic violence and stalking protection orders. Members of the Senate, House Bill 17 fills a gap in Wyoming's current protection order statutes. Wyoming provides for protection orders in cases of domestic violence and provides for protection order in cases of stalking, but we do not provide victims of sexual assault the same ability to obtain a civil order of protection. A victim of sexual assault, Mr. Chairman, is not able to obtain a domestic violence protection order, as domestic violence protection orders are for intimate partners, individuals that live together. A stalking protection order is most often would not apply, as the victim must show a course of conduct, not just a single event. Sexual assault victims are most often assaulted by someone they know. 73%, members of the Senate, of sexual assault victims are assaulted by someone they know, such as a co-worker, another student at college, public school, family friend, or relative, such as grandparent, cousin, or family friend or acquaintance. Sexual assault is an invasive and personal. Victims don't always want to file charges. They don't want to go public. They simply want the person to leave them alone. Most all of the language in House Bill 17 already exists in statutes. The crafting of sexual assault protection orders into the stalking statutes gave the judiciary a great level of comfort because they already know how to administer this statute very well and have done so for many years. In Wyoming, 22% of the females have experienced rape in their lifetime, and 43% of women and 29% of men in Wyoming have experienced sexual violence other than rape. As I stated, sexual assault protection orders fill a gap in our current civil protection order statutes. House Bill 17 provides a civil tool to work in conjunction with criminal prosecution and not replace it. Mr. Chairman, and walking through the bill, Mr. Chairman, on page 1, it starts out with the confidentiality in court proceedings. And I just want to outline again that this section, 73512, is created. The court shall enter into providing for the confidentiality of the names and addresses on into page 2. And then, as we see, the rest of the bill goes into the stalking statutes. 62319, that the names shall not be released, restrictions on disclosure or publication, again, this, except for the underlying language, we have some, it's all existing. And there's some updates to the language that's currently in law today. And then on to page 3, where it says at the top there, this subsection shall not apply if release of the names or information is necessary to enforce an order. That's just a, kind of a qualifier that says if it's necessary to release names for a particular reason, then that is done. 7.3.506 updates the language for under definitions for a court, an order of the you can see the stricken language for district court, and that was an issue that was raised last year. And then adding the sexual assault language in one little I and two little I, an order of protection, adding a victim of sexual assault, and then defining, bringing in the definition of sexual assault. And then on to page 4, where it just also just renumbers the stalking and what that includes. Then we have 73507, the petition of the order of protection. And this is goes on into who can file an order on through page 4 and 5. It's the victim. If the victim consents, the district attorney on behalf of the victim or any person with legal authority to act on behalf of the victim, a minor or vulnerable adult on page 5, and then the petition shall be accompanied or supplemented by one or more sworn affidavits. This is existing language. Again, we're just bringing in the sexual assault language and updating language for to be inclusive as the perpetrator. And then the language in E references back to page 3 of the bill, existing language except for and engaged in the context specified in 506, and that's back on page 3 of the bill. Then, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, we get into page 6. As in stalking, the language added in this section here, just basically it updates language to adding sexual assault. I think there's then a part of a House amendment in there on line 4. And then on to C, a temporary order. Again, existing language. And this section C, the underlying language, is specific in there just to say that the enhanced penalties only apply to stalking. And again, then, bringing in the ex parte temporary order on the top of page 7, that the fact that the ex parte or temporary order is not admissible as evidence in any subsequent criminal proceedings. And then on through 509, just adding the language again, existing language, and adding sexual assault to the to these provisions. And then on two little I, updating on the page 7 on the top of page 8, that's just updating the language for today's media. The stalking statutes were put in some years ago, and simply just updating language for today's type of media. Then on B, it just goes into saying what the order shall contain. And again, the qualifier that the orders involving stalking also state that a violation. Updating language to ensure enhanced penalties are strictly for the stalking. And then paragraph C, that there was a lot of discussion through the interim. There was 3 separate committee meetings, and one of the concerns was raised that if the victim invited the perpetrator to their house or to a meeting, this is actually put in there to protect the respondent. that they would have, if they were invited over, that they would have an affirmative defense. So this is actually a protectant put in the bill. And then on page, at the bottom of page 8, we start with the service of the order and the duration. This is where you're going to see some of the amendments coming in, members of the Senate. This is some amendments that to talk about, and we'll talk about taking the language back to the 1 year and the reasons for that. But there's the duration, and then on the bottom of that, upon the court finding from specific facts that clear and present danger, that's the same language on line 8, 9, and 10 that is already previously in the bill and in the stalking statutes. And then that the remedies provided through this are in addition to any other civil crimes or penalties. This is just adding the language for or the provisions for sexual assault. And then, members of the Senate, again on 73511, just updating and adding sexual assault throughout that and bringing in the language necessary to accommodate the sexual assault. And then on to line 8 on page 10, there's also victims' rights counseling that law enforcement may advise the victim of. And then sections 2 little I and C on there, just bringing in the language for sexual assault. And then on page 11, the effective date. So, members of the Senate, Mr. Chairman, that's the bill. And to the, I guess I can start by moving the standing committee amendment.
The standing committee amendment has been moved.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for that. And so I will go into the committee's work on that. The committee work, and it's been moved, and I ask for your favorable consideration of the amendment on House Bill 17. The standing committee amendment reinserts the 1 year from the 3 months, and then on page lines 9-8 does the same thing. Mr. Chairman, the members of the Senate, the testimony that we heard was that and having a member of the past judiciary in attendance, they spoke of how problematic this could be for the courts to have these coming back every 3 months and having the issues before them. Mr. Chairman, the 1 year, if we look at many other states that have these, and I have with me the protection orders from all the other states, most other states that do this, are all provided for a year or two. I have the ability to do that. And the courts are saying that this is really going to be problematic and an imposition on the on their proceedings to have these refer back to them every 3 months. Felt that it was the 1 year works very well. And then it also, the main thing is that it gives the discretion to the judiciary. It states there up to 1 year. It doesn't make it a solid. It just says that judiciary has the ability to give, to order a protection for up to 1 year. The judiciary may say that, hey, we only need one for a few months in this case. But in other cases, they may say we need it up to 1 year. So I would ask you to support the amendment and allow for the judiciary to make the determination on the time frame and ask for your favorable support on the amendment.
We're on the standing committee amendment. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion to adopt the standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 17, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has passed the House. We're on the Committee of the Whole Amendment.
House Bill 17, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to engross copy. Page 1, line 5.
On the Committee of the Whole Amendment, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 17 and ask the body to vote aye. What we're doing here is exactly just continuing the good work of the Judiciary Committee in this area. We're on page 9, top of page 9. And what we're taking out is that additional language that was added in the other body. And the reason for that is, Mr. Chairman, during the weekend I had a chance to visit. I took an occasion to visit with a judge and former prosecutor about some of these things and how this might work in his courtroom. And ultimately, I think some of it's already been said that there it's kind of problematic for them that you issue this order and then you come back in 3 months and do it again. And if you look at the language we're omitting here, you've got the order of protection expires automatically in 3 months after issuance unless the respondent is charged or convicted of stalking or sexual assault within the period. And what was problematic and what in visiting with the judge was that, first of all, he said it's unlikely unless it's a fairly mild case and there's a guilty plea that anything's going to be resolved, there's going to be a conviction within 3 months. And so then the other issue is being charged, and what happens in a number of these situations is that this brings us beyond the victim's, the applicant's control. Whether or not we talk about whether or not you would press charges. Well, Mr. Chairman, the fact of the matter is that you can't press charges. The state of Wyoming presses charges. Or it could be the town or the city you're from presses charges, and they do it on behalf of the public. You don't press charges even if you're assaulted, if you're beat up, if you're robbed. You don't press charges. You may go down and make a complaint to the police, but ultimately it's the police or the district attorney or the county attorney who ultimately decides whether or not they're going to charge anyone with anything. So that's the first thing. Is one, you're putting something, you're putting a condition on here that puts it beyond the control of the victim. The other thing is also in some of these cases, the victim has no desire to pursue this to conviction or even to charge. They just want to be left alone. And so ultimately, we take not only is it out of their control, but now you're forcing them, if they want this, to make sure that the prosecutor follows through, which again is may or may not be on their control. So ultimately, the way that if we put it back the way that it was, I think when it finished the original committee, I think that that's an improvement on the bill, and would ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion. Senator Russ.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, I am going to speak reluctantly in favor of this amendment. Because it doesn't work the way it currently is constructed in the bill. And we may need to consider subsequent amendments. But right now, with regard to you have two different kinds of protection orders, folks. You have the protection orders that are fall under 3521 it's called the domestic violence protection orders, it's a civil case. We have modified that up to allow a protection order up to a year. I can tell you that I handle a number of those kinds of cases, and at least in this district, the orders come down at 1 year. That's just the way they are. Now, maybe there's different in other districts, but the way the language works here, it's problematic because by taking it up to 1 year makes it consistent with Title 35. You can't have the other language here because it makes it totally inconsistent. But the problem that I have ultimately is that without some measure of protection for the person that is alleged to have committed the sexual assault, some balance in this bill, this is what would happen. You would have potentially somebody saying, well, he sexually assaulted me. May not be much in the way of evidence. You go get a protection order. And what happens is, if you're potentially facing a criminal charge, You're not going to take the stand. You just can't. If I was advising a client, I would tell him, do not take the stand. Because anything you say in the court of law can be used against you in another court of law. And the provisions of this bill do not protect that. The only protection in this situation is that the ex parte order of protection on page 7 issued under this section shall not be admissible as evidence. It doesn't talk to anything about potential testimony at all. So while I speak in favor of this amendment at this point in time, there are problems with this bill because it's not balanced. And quite frankly, there's no way you can defend yourself, because if you do, you open yourself up for potential criminal attack also. So that's how these things work. And I appreciate the spirit of this whole bill, and it's been around for a while, and I've raised issues with it in the past. I'm continuing to raise issues with it. But we need to seriously consider how you make this balanced. At this point in time, this bill is not balanced, but this amendment is appropriate to fix a construction problem in the language itself.
We're still on the committee of the whole amendment. No further discussion? All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 17, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We're back on the bill. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, there are legal aspects in this bill that I'm not qualified to argue on. I just want to say, from a practical sense, I would hope that you would support this bill. This bill, in my opinion, is born out of a real defined need. It's been the experience of I and my wife to have a number of young women come spend time in our home for protection that's necessary in the absence of what this bill tries to address. Given the fact that there's been testimony today, the bill is unbalanced, needs maybe further work, I would just hope that you would move this bill forward. We can work on it, fill in any gaps that might exist, whatnot. But I will say, from a standpoint of personal experience, there's really a lot more protection needed for these young individuals, and we have come to know that out of a very personal experience. I, in some part, feel somewhat guilty in the fact that we've done what we've done in protecting these people. But as a legislator, I didn't do something more in order to bring something like this forward. I'd hope you'd give it your favorable consideration.
Further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 17, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 17 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
You're going to try this again. Probably will.
Have we got some best? Messages from the House. Oh, actually, yeah, messages from the House.
February the 18th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message number 307, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 9. Alternative fuel taxation, ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1. February the 18th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message concurrence failed. Mr. President, House Joint Resolution number 3, free roaming wild horses. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 15, noes 14, excused 1. House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration of both houses. Concurrence failed, Mr. President. House Bill number 22, Disabled Veteran License Plates. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 0. Noes 59, excused 1. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Concurrence failed, Mr. President. House Bill number 73, Development of Education Standards. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 2, noes 57, excused 1. House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Mr. President.
Mr. Majority Floyd.
Thank you, Mr. President. The reading clerk should read the results on the free-roaming horses one more time. I think he misspoke on the one before.
You're looking for the vote?
For the vote. He said 14 were in favor and 15 opposed.
House Joint Resolution 3, free-roaming wild horses, ayes 15, noes 44, excused 1.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Does that clear the desk? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
President, I move that the Senate stand at recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Senator Von Flatiron.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, and about we'll call it 1225 in room S18 to do House Bill 61 engrossed Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act, House Bill 233 branch bank license expiration, and House Joint Resolution 7 engrossed Bear Lodge Project.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet in S11 in a few minutes to consider House Bill 77. Wyoming Retirement System Veteran Service Credit and House Bill 225, Highway Patrol Security Duties.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet upon adjournment in S14 to consider the following bills. House Bill 106, engrossed non-consensual towing services. HJ8 engrossed long combination vehicles compact agreement. House Bill 197 engrossed emergency vehicle tow trucks and wreckers. House Bill 172 engrossed disability placard designation. House Bill 181 speeding penalties in 80-mile per hour zones.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, Thursday, February 19th, 30 minutes afternoon recess in room S16 to discuss House Bill 25, Railroad Rolling Stock Tax Exemption Sunset, House Bill 81, Wyoming Lottery Distributions, and House Bill 62, Engrossed Property Tax Exemption for Religious Education Camps.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? No. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.